for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What's going on, guys, and welcome to episode 321 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we are live every Wednesday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and syndicated on all major podcast networks. It is, of course, our first show post-NFL draft. If you are on Twitter, we cannot see your comments, so please go find us on YouTube. It is youtube.com/@goingfortwolive, and then you can comment in the chat role. I'm here with my co-host, as always, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Sorry, I'm waiting for that heater to go off. I don't feel like I'm getting it. It's freezing in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's cold here, too. It was warm there for a little bit, but I think today it went down to like 45 degrees or something, which is pretty cold for this area this time of year. All right, also joining us tonight, he's been on the podcast before, but it has been a little bit, Mr. Matt Donnelly of the Dynasty Vipers podcast network. You can follow him on Twitter at MattDonnellyFF. What's up, Matt?
Not much, just kind of had a little chuckle about you guys complaining about the cold down south, so to speak. So I'm just going to sit back, take this all in. Hey, I haven't worn shorts since back in February. So once that weather gets above freezing, the pants come off. It's shorts weather. I don't care who you are. So I got a little bit more reason to wear shorts now because getting in and out of pants is a little bit more difficult recently. But hey, I'm not complaining. We're ready to go. We're talking football, the draft. The best thing, I just came post-op surgery. I was able to spend the entire seven rounds of the NFL draft with my butt in that chair, heavily medicated, watching nonstop NFL Network for like three straight days. So I've never had the opportunity to do that. I've done a lot. I've done a lot of couch surfing and watched a lot of NFL Network in the drafts before, but never have I sat from pick number one to the very last pick and not missed a single beat. So that was something special.
Nice, nice.
That's now, awesome.
I don't know what surgery you had, but was it planned that way for the NFL draft, or did it just happen to fall that way?
Well, it was originally supposed to come about, end of May, but I was kind of doing the math. I'm like, well, the end of May, the recovery is about 3 months, so that puts me right around the expo. And I have every intention of going to the expo this year, which is also about a week before our family reunion out in Newfoundland. So I'm like, okay, I can't have this surgery and then fly across the country four different times. Yes. It's probably not going to take very well. So I was like, you know what? We'll postpone this surgery till after I get back. And they came at me with another date. April 26th, I'm like, okay, I've got to take that date. There's no way I could pass that up. So I'm hoping to have the other hip done when I get back, maybe in September. So hopefully we can get both these hips replaced before the end of the new year, before snow starts hitting the ground, because that'd be ultimately the best thing. And, you know, quite frankly, maybe there's a little bit of time here around the NFL draft. I'm not going to lie, a little bit. I mean, I did have hopes to watch it, and it worked out pretty well that way.
Good stuff, man. So tell my listeners a little bit about Dynasty Vipers and what you do in general in the fantasy space.
Well, I do a little bit of everything, a jack of all trades, master of none. I mean, I'm very proud of what we do over on the Vipers Network there on the YouTube channel. I think we've put out like 121 videos or something already this year, and almost one every other day kind of thing as far as shorts go and videos go. So I'm very proud of the work we do there. A lot of that is, as you know, when you do these shows, you do a lot of solo stuff. A lot of reps are getting put into place there. So getting that underway and then doing a bunch of stuff there over at Fantasy Points dating back to January 1st, as far as video content has been concerned. We'll see if we continue doing that here in the new year, because they've got some big time, exciting new programming going on over at Fantasy Points. I think everyone's going to be interested in seeing and checking out. But you know what? I figured if I'm already this into my whole surgery career. And I haven't really found that niche for me, so to speak, there as far as being a big time dynasty, a big time IDP. I mean, I do a little bit of everything. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll be an injury analyst. And the best way I can do it is like, I'm just going to avoid the whole schooling thing because just get the injury. I'm not very smart. So what's the next best thing? How about you just have every surgery possible? So now we are 7 knees, 3 hips, a bicep, and an ankle deep into surgeries. And I'm getting a better understanding of the recovery time for a non-athlete here. So I'm starting to be able to understand a little bit better how things work. So maybe I'll join the wonderful world of injury analysts as far as fantasy football is concerned.
I like it. I mean, there's plenty of guys that do analysts that never played football. So you've got the upper hand on those guys if you're doing injury analysis. You're like, hey, I got the experience. I've had those injuries. So that's a good call. All right, guys. Today's show, as always, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their leading best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick them for every major sport. Use our promo code GF2 to sign up and get $100 up to $100 in deposit match. Simple as that. Simply use promo code GF2, get your promo code or get your $100 and start drafting your teams. All right, so we got a great show tonight. As I mentioned at the top, it's our first post NFL draft show. So we're going to be using draft, NFL draft, stock up, stock down, or winners, losers, whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to do a 3-round Superflex mock draft with what we know now as far as landing spots. But as always, of course, we got to go through our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. Today we are drafting the best TV or movie characters that pigeonholed the actor or actress that played them. Basically, people that were stuck in a similar or the same role for most of their careers or mostly known for that role in particular. And as always, the guest goes at the 101 here. So, Matt, you got the 101. There's a clear 101 for me, so I'm curious if you picked it or not. But when that came with this topic, I had one in mind, and I hope you don't take it.
Can we say the actor's name and see if Jeff knows who it is?
Yeah, that would not work.
If he knows what character it is.
That would not work, because I don't know actors and actresses at all.
Well, see, I wasn't exactly sure how we were going with this. I thought, you know, Ryan Reynolds or The Rock would be too easy, because basically they're the same character in every damn movie they do. So they basically got what they got. But the first one that comes to me, I'm going to save my other two because I don't think they're going to get touched. So I got to. He's not my number one pick, but I think I have to take him a little bit earlier because he's more of a name brand out there. That's Chris Farley. I mean, when we talk about Chris Farley, you're not going to see him in a romantic type comedy there. No. He's not going to be the leading role. I mean, sure, he went Chip and Dale toe for toe with Patrick Swayze there, but he never got the admiration that he wanted. He's one of the best actors of all time, but because of his... basically his SNL career, he was basically shoehorned into a certain role in every single movie he ever played where he wasn't given that opportunity to move up and down that the draft board, so to speak, as far as being maybe a superhero or being that potential, you know, leading man type role. I mean, the closest he ever got to being a superhero was in Beverly Hills Ninja, and he was swinging fish there from side to side. So for me, one of those guys is automatically shoehorned in pretty much every role. It's going to be Chris Farley, because you can never take him in a serious role or a horror flick or anything like that. It had to be a comedy.
Chris Farley as a superhero would be absolutely amazing. if he was in the Avengers, that would just be hilarious. I love it. That's a great pick. And yeah, Chris Farley did play a very similar roles in all the movies that he was in. So great, great pick. That was not my 101. My 101, which I'm picking here at the 102, and to me, this guy is probably the most pigeonholed. He tried to get out of this role for a little while, ended up being brought back into this role because he couldn't do anything else. No one else bought any of his movies, and that is Mr. Vin Diesel and Dominique Toretto for Fast and Furious. He basically is Dominique Toretto. I mean, that's who he is. He left the movies for a little bit, tried to do some outside movies. They didn't do very well. Came back to doing Fast and Furious. I think they're up to like 9 or 10 now, I believe. And
it's
still,
like 12 or 13.
Is it that many? It's insane.
It's 10?
It's 10.
It's 10?
Coming out, I think, in 2 weeks, actually.
Yep. Dude, he has a movie coming out tomorrow, I'm going to see.
He does?
He's Guardians of the Galaxy. He's Groot.
Oh, you're right. It doesn't quite count.
No.
But yeah, so that would be my 101 there, Mr. Vin Diesel. Ryan, you're up.
I'm taking Rainn Wilson.
I don't know who that
Jeff
is.
Jeff has no idea.
No idea.
Dwight Schrute from The Office. He can't do any other. Like, to me, there's no other role for him if I'm watching a movie, he's Dwight.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I even know who Dwight is, so there. I mean, I did get that one right. I didn't know his real name, though. But yeah, great choice, because you're right. I couldn't see him in the other role. If you see him, the one guy that was on The Office, too, that now does the, what's that action movie? I can't think of
which. Jack Ryan.
Yeah, for a while, I couldn't see him as Jack, you know, as Jack Ryan, but he kind of grew on me a little bit, so now I kind of see it more. But when he was on that show in The Office, I didn't think he can do anything else but that.
So I'm actually engaging myself in The Office. I've never seen The Office. So since like yesterday or the day before, now I'm officially into season number 4.
Nice.
I've binge watched like 3 full seasons of The Office. And by the way, I'm glad some people told me the first season and a half sucked. They were straight up with me, because yeah, I would have given up on it already. I would have given up because it was horrible for the first little while. But yeah, Rainn Wilson, fantastic pick right there.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so I'm up here at the 104, and I still got some pretty good ones on my board still. But I'm going to go with a guy on a very long-running TV show that, you know, when I first started watching it, was already about 4 seasons in, and I just kind of caught a couple episodes and liked it, and then my wife and I went back and started to watch all of them. Recently just ended, but that is Jim Parsons as Sheldon. I just cannot see him playing anybody else except for Sheldon. I've seen him in a couple of movies now that he's, you know, he's kind of a big name. But whenever I see him on TV, he's Sheldon to me. He always will be Sheldon for sure. All right. Let's see. Where are we at now? We're up to you, Matt.
105. I'm going back old school here. I love myself some old ones. And if you want to talk about actors who really can't play anyone else that they've ever been, I'm going to go with the original when it comes down to this. I'm talking about Mr. Bean here, Rowan Atkinson.
Yes.
There's no way you can believe that Rowan Atkinson could play anybody else. He's had some other roles. He's played a bad guy in a movie here and there. He played a spy in another movie. But it was always the same Mr. Bean, no matter what he did with it. So for me, Rowan Atkinson there as Mr. Bean, another slam dunk.
Great pick. Great pick. I think we did go out of order there, so thankfully I didn't take your pick, because I think you were supposed to go before me. But we'll get back on track here, Ryan. You got the 106.
What? Oh, okay. I thought you went 2 already, Jeff?
Yeah, I already took 2. I went ahead of Matt. I jumped in front of him.
Oh, then. Okay. I'm going with another. It's just easy to stick with sitcoms. And even though this guy's a very good actor, Nick Offerman, he's always Ron Swanson to me from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Like, just being awesome, drinking bourbon, carving wood. He's that character forever.
Absolutely.
And he's, as I said, he's been in other great roles.
Good stuff. All right, back to you, Matt. So we're back in order now. You got the 107.
Well, it's hard to argue the guy with the stash that looks like that. I mean, it's not quite like this, but it's right up there. For my last pick here, I mean, I'm going to go to an actor here who's appeared in over 80 featured films, 5 different TV series, countless guest star appearances, and yet you'll only know him for one role his entire career, and that is Robert Englund. I don't know if you know who Robert Englund is, but he made a career out of being Freddy Krueger. That was it. That's his one role. And if you saw what he looked like, he might actually be uglier in person than he was as Freddy Krueger. I mean, this is a guy you probably wouldn't want to put on the main screen anywhere, but he had over 80 featured films, but nobody will ever recall that because of what he did as Freddy Krueger. So that's my 108 or whatever, 107 right now. There,
yeah. Good one.
Robert Englund.
That's, yeah, when you said the name, I was like, I don't know who that is. But then you said Freddy Krueger, of course, that's definitely iconic. Love it. All right, so that's 107. It's my last pick here, so I want to make this a good one. I still got a bunch of names on my list here, but let me go with a guy that unfortunately will never be able to change this as a pigeonhole, because his career ended, obviously, when he passed away a couple years ago. But it is Mr. Heath Ledger as the Joker. I think that he is pretty much the Joker. And whenever I think of the Joker now, I think he played it better than anybody else. Obviously, a lot of great quotes from that movie. But Heath Ledger, to me, you know, embodied what the Joker, I think, should have been for the Batman series. So I'll go with Heath Ledger here at number 7 or number 8. And Ryan, you got the last pick.
I'm cheating a little bit. Because I'm going the entire cast of one show, and that's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and that's including Danny DeVito. they're always those characters now. Like, you, it's 14 seasons in, and they're that people.
It's kind of cool because he actually had the other iconic role too. If you were a little bit older, you'd probably know him from Cheers. I think he was in Cheers as well. Or was it Cheers that he was in? It was another movie that was our TV show.
Danny DeVito's biggest his breakout was in Taxi way back when.
Taxi, that's what I'm thinking of.
With Andy Kaufman and all those guys. So, I mean, that was another one of his iconic roles. Is he kind of stood behind the big glass box, and that's kind of where he made his career there for the first quip you have to go.
Yep. That's what I was thinking of.
Taxi. Great Penguin, Batman.
Great Penguin, yep.
But, man,
Fantastic Quinn. You could not have.
Always Sunny's taking him over, though.
Yeah, no, he definitely, that's his role now for sure.
He's right out there. He makes a great body double for Arnold Schwarzenegger there in the movie Twins. I could see the resemblance totally.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's get into our stock up, stock down for the draft here.
Stock up, stock down.
All right, we can pick rookies. You can pick veterans. It doesn't matter. There's no rules here for who you pick. So, Matt, you'll go first here. Give me your stock up or stock down, whatever one you want to go with here.
I mean, I got a bunch, and one of the ones I did the biggest write-up on here is probably one of my bigger winners, and if I can just kind of pull this up here quickly, I kind of got my spreadsheet all over the place, but it's Jaden Reed of the Green Bay Packers. Before the whole draft process started, we weren't even talking about Jaden Reed of Michigan State Spartans. His name was not coming up anywhere. I did go on a couple shows earlier and say, hey, watch this guy. This could be my sleeper guy. I mean, he's got everything you could possibly want when you're looking at a potential wide receiver one down the road. He just hasn't had an opportunity to show because Michigan State never asked him to do so. So when you're looking at what he did at the pro down in Mobile, Alabama, and you listen to Jim Nagy talking about it, the dude was torching other dudes, like guys that were getting drafted. He was absolutely torching, much like Mingo was doing much that whole week there. So you look at the traits that he kind of brings at you, and you're like, okay, this guy, he can do it, man. He's got speed. He's got that vertical. He's got that 4.45 type speed. So that checks the box. And then when you look at the things that matter, he had a true breakout season as a freshman there where he had 797 yards, 8 touchdowns. That went under the radar. And then you look at his reception perception numbers and 70.3% success rate versus man, 79.2% success rate against zone, 77.8% success rate against press coverage, which was the best amongst any wide receiver in this year's class.
Wow.
And then you look at his contested catch rate. You're like, dude, this dude's like 5'10", and he's got like this insane contested catch rate. You can play him at the X, you can play him at flanker, you can play him in the slot, you can play him pretty much everywhere. He's basically Zay Flowers, except without the draft type. And when you see where he lands himself in a very good position there in an offense that's trying to find itself moving forward. Jordan Love is now the signal caller there in Green Bay. And he doesn't exactly have the same rapport with Christian Watson that maybe Aaron Rodgers did. So he gets to come into an opportunity with a quarterback taking over under center for the first time and some other young pieces kind of built around that. I believe they got themselves a couple of young tight ends there and Musgrave and Kraft. They've also got Romeo Doubs, who's probably one of the biggest losers. If we're talking about winners here, he probably ends up being the biggest loser. But Christian Watson, the Packers seem to have a good history of hitting in the second round. And Jaden Reed is that second round wide receiver with that draft capital, who could play opposite of Christian Watson off the get-go. And I wouldn't be surprised by the end of training camp if we're talking about Jaden Reed as being the number one wide receiver for Jordan Love. Reliable over the middle, contested catches, good in the slot. I mean, a lot of these things say, hey, I could be a dependable wide receiver for you as you're trying to figure your way around the NFL. So he's my biggest winner from this past draft that just came and gone.
Yeah, that's a great pick because, I say this a lot on my podcast, is I don't do a lot of college watching on Saturdays. I usually do my stuff after the season's over with, and he wasn't even on my radar. Like, I didn't even have him ranked in the top 36, and, you know, he goes and gets drafted as high as he does, so I have to go back and watch him, and you're right. You know, he definitely looked like the part, so he raised up in my rankings quite a bit, and I'm sure a lot of people have him raised up as well.
I think pre-draft, he was going as ADP was about, probably in rookie drafts, ADP is about 38. Now he's going about 27. I had him pre-draft as my wide receiver 10. And right now, I just look at the ECR, and I'm actually too low on him because now his ECR is wide receiver 8. I'm like, dude, there was no one that had him anywhere near. But there's a couple people out there that I recognize that had him as a top 10 wide receiver in this class. but he's always had the potential to be potentially the top wide receiver in this class 3, 4, or 5 years down the road because of the tools that he has.
Nice. Good stuff. Ryan, what you got, winner or loser?
I'll take a winner here, and I'm going with a vet. We got a running back last year. He had in 13 games had 220 carries and just shy of 1,000 yards and only 16 and only 13 games last year. That's Damian Pierce. Everybody was worried about him, but they just brought in a quarterback. They improved that team, and he is still the lead back. He's going to have an absolute massive workload. Spoiler alert for our rankings coming out. He is going to be in my top 12 for dynasty running backs. Mm-hmm. He made out. They have a young level quarterback now. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree. And you're right. I mean, the talk going in was, you know, where he was drafted and would they find somebody in the, you know, the top half of the draft that come in and replace him or at least compete with him. And
250 touches and 1,100 scrimmage yards in 13 games.
That's pretty good.
Because that for 17, it's a big year.
Yep, that's a great pick. And so I'll take the guy that kind of was in the same talk pre-draft about they quote-unquote may replace him. You know, he was drafted late. And then he was replaced by literally the best running back in this draft class, Mr. Tyler Allgeier. Unfortunately, had a great year last year, over 1,000 yards rushing, broke the Falcons' rookie rushing single-season record, and then promptly gets replaced the next year with Bijan Robinson. Pretty much off of the draft, you know, block right now. I don't know if anybody wants to take him in their redraft ranking or the redraft leagues. But yes, poor guy did all he could do. What was a 6th round pick last year. He did all he can do to be valuable to his team, and they go and replace him with Bijan Robinson. So Allgeier, obviously, the low hanging fruit, but definitely a big loser in this past draft. Let's go back around.
Take it even further. I mean,
go ahead.
You look at an Arthur Smith type offense there, and in how much he likes to run the ball, he's not going to want to run the ball any less than he did last season with Bijan Robinson. So this is, I mean, you could probably make an argument that Drake London loses a little bit here, and Kyle Pitts continues to lose here because he was already the loser the last 2 years back to back. Now you go a guy with Bijan Robinson who could get up to, what, 300 potential touches, which is more than anyone back in Atlanta. There's less touches to go around to Kyle Pitts, I think, in year number 3. So that is a potential one there.
Yeah, somebody on our NFL mock draft show mentioned that the Falcons have now taken 3 back-to-back-to-back fantasy favorites, and they're going to ruin all 3 of them. Hopefully not. Hopefully they can get together. But they got Ritter at quarterback, so who knows what they're going to be able to do there. All right, let's go back around again, Matt. Give me either a winner or a loser that you got on your list.
Well, since I gave you a winner, I'm going to dip my toes into the loser here. And this one kind of pains me because last season he was sitting atop of the depth chart and there was no competition in sight. In the 2023 horizon, it's coming. You're like, yeah, you know what? Kenneth Walker is going to absolutely crush it. Then in typical Pete Carroll fashion, absolutely, he went out there and found himself a down-the-hill type running back that thrives on play action. Not that Kenneth Walker can't thrive on play action or anything like that. In fact, he's really good at it. If you look at his career in college, he was actually averaging 4.27 yards after contact per attempt. Meanwhile, Zach Charbonnet was averaging 3.54. So you got two similar style type running backs running the ball, except the one difference is, if you look at the receiving game, Charbonnet was actually a competent receiver in college, where Kenneth Walker wasn't asked to do in college. He hasn't really been asked to do in the pros. And if that wasn't enough, bringing in Charbonnet, they actually got themselves another pass catching back in the 7th round in Georgia running back Kenny McIntosh. So you've got another receiver here that can play the ball out of the backfield. And that's not all. Geno Smith, he got paid, so they're going to want to see what he can do. And then they gave him another pass catcher. So you're looking at a guy last season in Walker who had 255 touches and had a very, very good season. Jackson Smith and Jigba, first-round selection, he's going to get some of those touches. Maybe not in the run game, not maybe in the pass game, but they're going to look to throw the ball. There's not going to be as many touches for him. And then you can guarantee that Zach Charbonnet is going to take at least a 35 to 40% of those touches out of the backfield away from Kenneth Walker, because that's what Pete Carroll likes to do. He's looking for his Chris Carson here, and that's what I think he thinks he has in Zach Charbonnet. So it's really interesting to see this, and I don't blame the Seahawks. This is a great move for the Seattle Seahawks. not so much for fantasy managers, not so much for Kenneth Walker as far as pertaining to fantasy. This might actually keep Kenneth Walker healthier down the stretch where he can come up bigger to come to the playoffs. And I think Seattle has much greater aspirations of the season than fantasy managers have, right? So this is a great move for the Seattle Seahawks, great move for the players, not so much for fantasy.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Sorry, Ryan, I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, you're good.
I was going to compare this situation to another situation in the NFL that we've seen recently where you got the running back that, you know, is awesome. We love him, but he doesn't catch passes very often. And then we got the guy behind him that's also pretty good and catches passes. And that's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt a couple years ago. Both of them luckily ended up being top 10 running backs. But, you know, that situation is similar to Seattle where you got a guy that's not necessarily, quote unquote, just a pass catcher. He can run the ball as well. So he's going to take touches away from Kenneth Walker, take passes away from Kenneth Walker, and it's going to be a situation to monitor for sure. And hopefully they can put up enough points that they're both valuable in fantasy, but it does hurt Walker's value for sure.
Just saying, the pure runner in that group, Nick Chubb's the one you want, and that's Ken Walker. But
that's probably, you're probably right, but it's still going to be tough to watch because I know as a Nick Chubb owner, whenever they put Kareem Hunt in the red zone, I was like cussing myself. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? He comes in and gets the touchdown after Nick Chubb got them down in the red zone.
And it's not like Kenneth Walker can't be a top 10 running back in fantasy. He has the potential to be there. His efficiency could spike because of this, except I don't think you could take him as a top 10 running back right now. I think that's too rich for my blood right now. And I'm thinking you're probably looking at RB 17, 18, and hoping you're having a Josh Jacobs type breakthrough or a Kenneth Walker type player here this season. But as far as top 10, I don't see it right now, but it's definitely something that could happen. I mean, stranger things have gone down in the NFL.
Already became a value in best ball. My draft gunner right now, he's already dropped in the fourth round.
Wow, that's a big drop. That's good.
And you know what? Fourth round, he becomes a value.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jamie wants to know, Ryan, real quick, Charbonnet or Roschon? I know what his pick is because he's a big Roschon fan, but who do you like out of those two?
Probably Charbonnet because, you know, if he gets the starting job, injuries occur, he's going to get a ton of carries there in Seattle. Like, he's premier handcuff right now.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Ryan, give us a winner or a loser here.
I'm going with a loser here, and I'm going with Dawson Knox. Like, RIP, they took a pass-catching wide receiver in the first round with draft capital, and you didn't get over 65 targets last year. It's over for you.
Yeah, it's done.
Like, he had his touchdowns went down, his yards reception went down, and they just said, nope, we're getting an athletic guy. So I think he's kind of cooked as long as he's in Buffalo.
Yeah, that I agree 100%. And I was kind of upset about that, too. I didn't really understand the pick necessarily, but I guess I could see it from a perspective that he's definitely going to be a pass catcher in that offense, and they need some pass catchers that are behind Stephon Diggs, so he fits.
And he
role.
Can stretch the field a lot better than Knox can.
Yeah, agreed. Knox was sort of a catch it and fall down kind of tight end, or he's just a red zone guy. But yeah, I agree 100%. All right, I got another winner that I'm going to shout out here, and this guy wasn't quite where Jalen Reed was, where he was sort of off the map completely. He was kind of rising slowly before the NFL draft. He moved up into my second round before he was picked at the top of the second, surprisingly, and that's Jonathan Mingo going to Carolina. Obviously, that receiving core isn't very deep or even that good at the top, so he's got an opportunity to step in there and potentially be the number one in that offense. You know, they got, of course, a brand new quarterback, you know, whole new coaching staff, the whole nine. So Mingo steps into that situation looking pretty sweet. So Jonathan Mingo, like I said, he was kind of getting some buzz. I believe Steve Smith actually kind of created that buzz because he was really on him on some of his shows that I've watched. And he was really talking about Mingo being a receiver that he liked. So he jumped up into that top of the second round. So you can't ignore that draft capital for sure. Like I mentioned, he's got a young quarterback he can grow with. So Mingo becomes a big winner in the NFL draft as well. All right. Dynasty managers, just do something unique for your league. For as little as $8.50 a person in a 12-man league, you can do a live one-hour podcast that we do dedicated to your league. We break down every team in the league. We rank them from worst to first. Just visit goingfor2.com/PLP for details and to book your podcast. We do Dynasty. We do Redraft, Superflex, Vampire Leagues. We did a 20-team Empire League last year. We've already done a couple of them this year. They're filling up pretty fast. So again, that link is goingfor2.com/PLP. PLP stands for Personal League Podcast. So go book yours now.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. What better way to get instant reaction to the NFL draft than to kick off a Dynasty Superflex rookie mock? See where we have these guys, coming out of the NFL draft before we actually hear anything about, you know, them practicing or how they fit into their team. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off at the top here. I have the 101 only because it's the easiest pick to make in this draft, and I wanted to get y'all insight on some of the other picks in this draft. So I'll go ahead and just take Bijan Robinson. And for the sake of time, I don't got to explain it. Definitely the best pick in this draft. You know, we've been talking about it all offseason. Nothing has changed from the NFL draft. So Bijan 101 no matter what. Ryan, you got next at 102 here.
I'm taking Anthony Richardson. Reason for it, I think he landed a really great situation with a strong running game, good offensive line, big, tall pass catchers. But this is a run-heavy team. They're going once he gets that starting job there, with paired with Jonathan Taylor, he's going to be an unstoppable running ball. And we've seen with Justin Fields, you don't really have to pass to get a ton of fantasy points. That's the I don't think he's going to be as good of a quarterback as the other two, but fantasy-wise, that rushing upside's outlandish.
Yeah, absolutely. He's moved up my board to the number one quarterback as well. I was kind of bullish on Young, but now Anthony Richardson is now my 101. 101 quarterback, at least. All right, Matt, you're up at the 103 here. Oh, I think you're on
mute. I was kind of hoping that Anthony Richardson would slide to me at 103 because the ham cannon. I mean, that's enough right now. If you get called the ham cannon, you automatically should be number one. Right? It's that simple. But you look at what the Indianapolis Colts did. They've got Michael Pittman. They've got Josh Downs. They've got that running game. I mean, everything is setting up really nice for Anthony Richardson. It's also setting up really nice for Bryce Young here. So at 103, I'll go with Bryce Young simply because the offense is a little bit better in Carolina than it is in Houston right now. And like Anthony Richardson, you've still got that upside as a running quarterback there with Bryce Young, where CJ Stroud is more of the kind of guy who's going to sit in that pocket and make those passes. So give me the quarterback here who's got some options there in Mingo, in Adam Thielen, in Miles Sanders, in Hayden Hurst, who's got the pieces already surrounded to him and a good defense on top of it, which means they're going to get the ball a few more times.
Yeah, I like it. Pretty much chalk there at the top three picks, and I'm not going to break the chalk roll here. I think I'm going to go quarterback again now, being super flex. So I will take CJ Stroud, like you just mentioned, in Houston. Offense is not quite as good there, but I do think that they're going to put some, obviously have a good defense or try to build a good defense with the defensive head coach that they now have. They got a good running game. They can protect him a little bit. It may be a little bit of a slow start, and you'd be looking at year two before he really pays off for you, but you can't pass up that opportunity there at the 104 to get a quarterback. So Stroud at the 104 for me. And back to you, Ryan.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs. I think Detroit, he has high, high draft capital, which is absurd. But I think Detroit has a very solid plan for him. If you look at them and the Jets, both of them made very, very hard pushes to try to get Deebo Samuel. I think they want to kind of use Gibbs in that jack of all trades, just getting touches anywhere they can type role. And that could be really good fantasy wise, especially PPR value.
Yeah, I considered Gibbs at the 104. He definitely has entered that conversation as going over the quarterback, but I just couldn't pass up Stroud there. So I do like Gibbs a lot, though. All right, Matt, you're up on the clock.
Now, here's where the draft really begins. So I think we can all kind of put in a degree that the top two running backs, top three quarterbacks are going to come off the board early. So then you're looking at the wide receivers. Jackson Smith and Jigba there, he's sitting with – that's not my pick, by the way, so don't pencil that in. he's sitting there behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And you got Quentin Johnson there behind Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. You got Zay Flowers there with Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Bateman. And then you got Jordan Addison there with TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson. So you've got a whole bunch of wide receivers that are sitting behind other prolific type pass catchers and great offenses. So you need to find this offense that's going to be the most efficient. And for me, I really like Jordan Addison here, even above Smith and Jigba, just because of the fact I think they can use him a little bit more in this passing game with Kirk Cousins. And when it comes down to it, his route running and his ability to give you both the outside and an inside type receiver is going to benefit the Minnesota Vikings more than perhaps Smith and Jigba there in Seattle.
Yeah, that's a great pick, and I've seen that more and more now, where people are taking Addison over over Smith and Jigba.
I was debating him or Gibbs more than JSN.
It's a great landing spot. Like I talked about possibly, my draft crush was Zay Flowers, and I'd hoped that he would land there, but Addison landing there was just as good as a Zay Flowers landing spot. So yeah, I like Addison there for sure. All right, so let's see. I am back up at the 107, and let's see here. I'm looking at the receivers because you mentioned a couple of the guys already. I do think that I will take Smith and Jigba. I think I would have taken him at the 106 just because I liked him so much pre-draft, but I definitely can see where you're coming from with the Addison pick. But Smith and Jigba, you may have to wait a year to really see his potential because he's going to play behind Metcalf and Lockett. But I think Lockett's getting a little bit older. I believe he's on the last year of his contract as well, so he could be moving on as early as next season, and Smith and Jigba can take over that role. I think he has some value this first year. It just won't be as much as we had hoped it would have been. He would have gone somewhere else and been the number one, but he's still worth the 107 here. Ryan, you got the 108.
I'm not in love with anything here, so I'm going to take the Homer pick. I'm taking new superstar Ravens, Zay Flowers. I think the relationship he already has in place with Lamar helps. I think haven't seen a real receiver step up. And when they have, it's been receivers playing in the slot and up the middle who just haven't been that good, but that's always been the most heavily targeted guy in Baltimore. And Zay might get that.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I actually have kind of come around on him. I was a little bit down on him a little bit with the landing spot, but your new offensive coordinator kind of heard someone talk about him and how he likes to pass the ball a lot. So there's going to be a lot more targets in that offense, I think, going around.
Yeah, and you looked at him, like the receivers he was going to before, like throwing to Seth Roberts because he was a slot receiver and being top two in targets in Baltimore is disgusting. This is actually adding talent there, not just the dude.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Matt, you got the 109.
109, you know what? If I'm going to sit here, we're going to have the last of the big wide receivers sitting on the board. I'll take Quentin Johnson here all day, every day. I mean, he's a big receiver. He doesn't play as big as you would like him. You'd like to see him make a few of those more of those contested catches later on. But maybe a little bit of that Mike Williams will rub off on him, as long as it's the healthy part of Mike Williams, not the part that gets the ice bags every single week. So I think that's definitely an addition there for the Los Angeles Chargers there. I think this offense with Justin Herbert being paired with him for the future spells good things. And you know what? There's no guarantee Keenan Allen or Mike Williams or what their future holds because of these injuries are starting to add up in that receiving core, but it does hurt Josh Palmer in the now.
Yeah. I was against Quentin Johnson pre-draft, and with that landing spot that he got and draft capital, I was forced to move him up higher up because of that. Because you can't ignore that he's got a good landing spot, good draft capital, and he's definitely a big receiver, so he fits that role. All right, let's see. I am up at the 110 here, and this is where things, I think, get a little interesting because you can go a couple different ways here at the 110. With it being super flex, Will Levis is potentially here. I'm not going to take him here because I'm not a Will Levis fan at all, but I've definitely seen him go this high. Of course, Zach Charbonnet's on the board. Devin Achane's on the board. But because do I want to do that? Yeah, let me go ahead and pull the trigger. I'm going to take the guy I talked about as being a biggest winner. Draft capital, big receiver, going to the Carolina Panthers, Mr. Jonathan Mingo. Might be a little bit of a reach here at this point, but I think I like the receivers in the first round. So give me Mingo here at the 110. Ryan, you're up at the 111.
It's gross here, but I'm going to take Zach Charbonnet. The high end handcuff potential, also potential on his own because of his pass catching abilities. He's going to have a role in Seattle at some point.
Yeah, I agree. I've come around on that as well. I kind of dropped Charbonnet a little bit too much in my rankings when that first happened. I was kind of like thinking that he was just going to be a backup. But then you look at the draft capital and where they took him at, it's hard to ignore it. And I think he's going to have a role. And potentially the offense is good enough. You know, him and Walker can coexist and both be relevant in fantasy.
Be nice.
All right, Matt, you're at the 112 here.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking over my board here and kind of going back and forth. And hey, if you're gonna put your money where your mouth is, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. And I'm going to go with Jaden Reed here at 112. I think he slides into the back end of the first. I get it. People have their hesitations. He's not one of those guys that I think is going to come in automatically week one and be a big-time contributor. He's more of a play for week number eight, week number nine, much like you see down to Christian Watson this season, and then taking over Foley a little bit later on down the road. But that's kind of where I'm sitting at here. Again, I'm not in love. I like this class. I really do. I just don't love this class as far as fantasy is concerned. And honestly, if I'm sitting in that basically 1, 10, 11, 12, I'm willing to trade any of those picks for players that can help me now, because I'm not in. I don't think any of these rookies are really doing anything for me.
I'm 100% with you. I've actually been down in this class even pre-draft. I didn't like it very much. But now that the draft spots are in, that back half of the first round, I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of the top half of the second round either. If you can trade back and get a couple more darts, you know, you get a couple more darts to throw at this draft class in the, you know, late second, early third, I would do that. That's what I'm trying to do in all of my drafts. But yeah, I think this draft class, people love it. I was not a fan, and I'm definitely not a fan now. But I am up here at the 201, and I have to pick somebody. So I will break the ice and take the first tight end off the board, Dalton Kincaid. We mentioned him a little bit going to Buffalo. Good offense, very athletic tight end, receiving tight end. Will definitely be one of those players that split out quite often in that offense, and they need an extra pass catcher, you know, next to Stephon Diggs, because Gabe Davis was not it last year. So Dalton Kincaid can be that guy. And like Ryan mentioned, he can stretch the field a little bit, give Allen another big target in the middle of the field. So Dalton Kincaid here at the 201. Ryan, you're up.
I'm taking Kendry Miller. I love the fit in New Orleans. They have a solid plan for him, probably similar to the role of Kamara, who's going to be suspended for God knows how long and is not getting any younger this time. So we could see an instant impact and down the road, even longer one.
Yeah, Kendry Miller is a good pick there. I wasn't 100% sold on him, but situation there definitely looks good.
He moved from 5 to 4 to me. He's been one of my favorites throughout.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's great. All right, Matt, you're at the 203.
Well, there are so many potential options here, especially as running backs are concerned. I've already selected a quarterback here at the 103 there. And I'm like, okay, do I want to go with the wide receivers? There's some good options there, wide receiver. I mean, I think I could grab one of those guys probably a little bit later. But I keep looking at this running board. I'm not as big on a guy in there as most people. I think he's got that scat back, so I'm going to hold off on that. I love Tyjae Spears, except those knee reports are just scaring the crap out of me. I usually run my dynasty leagues in three-year windows, which he should be fine for. But you know what? Give me Tank Bigsby here. Ooh. Out of Jacksonville. He is basically a build-a-back. Whatever you think a running back should look like, Tank Bigsby is. I mean, the dude's 5'11", like 210 pounds. Like, he is solid. He's what you want him to do. And everything that happened in Auburn last season, Auburn wasn't a very good team. They had a bad offensive line. They couldn't get him going. And now he goes to Jacksonville, to Duval County, and he's sitting behind Travis Etienne. That's it. That's the running game there in Jacksonville. And ETN is not typically built like a running back who's going to pound it between the tackles for 17 games. We've seen injuries creep up on ETN already. I don't think they're going to use him in a every down back type role. I think Bigsby is going to get some more touches than most people give him credit for, especially early on in the season. So I kind of like Bigsby here because I think there's potential for him to get more involved in this offense than people are looking at right now.
Yeah, I like that pick there. It's not where I thought you were going to go, but I do like that pick. And Bigsby was one of those guys. I'm not a big Debbie player, but I know at one point when I was looking at rankings, you know, before the season was over with, Bigsby was one of those guys that were ranked towards the top in Debbie leagues last year, maybe even 101 at one point. So, you know, I don't think he's necessarily lost that ability. I just think he had a bad season, but getting him here at the 203 is definitely a good value for sure, and a good landing spot too. All right, I am back on the clock here, and if I'm looking at it from a team building perspective, I got CJ Stroud with this team in the first round, so I don't want to go with another quarterback because Will Levis is still on the board. You mentioned A-Chain, and I'm with you. I think he's a little bit too small. Good offense, good landing spot. I just think he's too small to be an impact player. So I'm going to stick with what I had in the at the 201 here and go with the other tight end here and get Michael Mayer landing there in Vegas with Jimmy G as his quarterback, who we know has had a history of throwing to the tight end. Mayer is not as athletic as Kincaid. He's more of a Jason Witten type. He's going to be just a solid all-around tight end, but can catch the ball pretty well. So for Vegas there, I think was a good landing spot. So I'll take him at the 204. Ryan, you got the 205.
I am taking Jamie, who disappeared in the chats, boy here, Roshan Johnson. It's a great landing spot for him. They ran the ball 558 times last year. And Justin Fields helps everybody's efficiency as a runner. And he's going to be the guy to move the change, get the red zone carries. And I like the fit a lot. I know they waited forever, but it's just the way the draft went. Three running backs went before round four. I'm fine with the draft capital. I think he's has a big role.
Yeah, I've been in a couple mocks with Jamie since his Roshan love has really come to fruition, and he took him as high as 110 in one of the drafts that I did with him. And
no, that's just silly.
But if you look at the players that we have on the board, is it though?
I don't know. That's really not. That's your dude. That's your dude. Get him.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I 110 is where I would see him at. I mean, not over the receivers that, you know, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, Jackson Smith, those should all be before him. But when you get to the Jonathan Mingos and the Zach Charbonnets, Roshan Johnson is just as good as those guys with an opportunity. So I don't hate it. All right, Matt, 206.
206, I don't like it, but because it's super flex, I feel I have to do it. I'm going to go with the quarterback here, but you know what? I think I'm going to go with Hendon Hooker here over Will Levis because
attaboy.
I cannot go with a guy, joke or not joke, putting mayo in his coffee. I mean, that's literally the scouter. That's it. That's it right there. I mean, we've got animals in the animal kingdom that know how to peel a banana, and yet he can't peel a banana. He eats it with a peel on. There are so many red flags I question about his character. And then you see him slide in the draft out of the first round. I mean, No, I got too many questions. Now, Hendon Hooker is a kind of quarterback. I know he's as old as, I mean, he comes into Detroit for one. Going into Detroit as Jared Goff's backup, with those weapons that Detroit has, I mean, by the time he's the starting quarterback, he's going to be the same age Jared Goff is right now. I mean, I think they're only like 3 years apart as is. But the point is, Hendon Hooker's got some player makers to work with once he gets there, where Will Levis, not so much at this point.
And the fact Will Levis isn't good.
Yeah, Ryan is a big-time Levis hater, pre-draft, post-draft, during the draft. It didn't matter. He didn't like Will Levis at all.
Forever and always.
Yep.
Flat-planted.
All right, I am back on the clock here, and there's a couple guys that I just keep following that I'm looking at that I should take. And you know what? I'm going to have to be the guy that pulls the trigger on Mr. Will Levis at this point. I think he's become a bit of a value. He will be a starting quarterback at some point in Superflex. That's worth something. So I will take Will Levis here at the 207 just to get him off of Ryan's board because I knew Ryan had him next, right?
No, I will take. I'm not taking him anywhere.
All right, Ryan, you're up.
I'm taking my boy. I'm taking Jalin Hyatt. I don't care. He went round three. I don't know why he went round three, but on the Giants offense, he brings something completely different than every other receiver in the field. He can stretch the field and make plays on the outside, and that gets you on the field. And he's good enough yak where he can have a pretty good game there. And I think it'll be a nice compliment for Daniel Jones, and he might be the best receiver already because it's not that great of a core.
Yeah, you're right. It's not that great of a team there. All right, we're at 209, Matt.
Now, I know the sexy pick would be to go with the guy who's playing in Kansas City that's going to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes off bail money from Patrick Mahomes, but for me, I'm not going to go to Kansas City here. I'm going to go with a Denver Bronco here because every year the Denver Broncos enter the season with 4 horsepower, and none of those horses make it to the end. Well, they've got a guy there in Marvin Mims that does everything Jordan Addison does, except he does it with a burst. And I love myself some Marvin Mims. We've heard trade talk potentially of Cortland Sutton, except that contract is so nasty, the Broncos can't get out of it. So they're not going to move him. They signed Tim Patchbow. He's coming off an injury. KJ Hamler coming off an injury. Jerry Jeudy has been inconsistent at best. I think this could be Marvin Mims moving into that role with Jerry Jeudy and with Cortland Sutton. And we don't see as much Tim Patrick moving forward. And with Russell Wilson and that offensive line that Sean Payton's put together there in Denver, I think that means good things coming Marvin Mims' way.
I like it. I like it. It's a great pick. I think I had Marvin Mims in my top 12, overall top 12 pre-draft. So great pick here. All right. I'm back on the board at the 210. And there's some guys still staring at me. Devin Achane, Josh Downs, the guy you mentioned, Rashi Rice there in Kansas City. I think at this point, I'm going to pull the trigger on that running back, Mr. Devin Achane. I know he's a small running back, but I think McDaniels there in Miami likes small running backs, small, fast guys. And I think Achane fits his scheme. He's going to find ways to get him the ball in space. Hopefully find a way to keep him healthy because he is so small. But he's got Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert ahead of him who have not been the picture of health their entire NFL career. So he could end up being a guy getting tons of snaps in that offense. And if they can find creative ways to get him the ball, he can definitely pay off in fantasy. Ryan, you got the 211.
Man, I love that it's just backup season right now. I'm taking Tajay Spears. Being the primary backup behind Derrick Henry, being late and push the pile, create for himself, make guys miss in space, and just run mean. He's a good person to fill in that role. And if Derrick Henry, who's not young, has a ton of miles on him, goes down, Spears is 20 touches a game.
Yeah, and I think we talked, or someone talked to the doc, going for two's own doc, James Ferretti, about that injury and what it meant, and he said he has no issues with it as far as running backs get hurt in the NFL in general, whether they have injuries, previous injuries or not. So he's not as worried about them. So if he says he's good to go, I'll take a chance on him as well. All right, Matt, finish the second round off here at the 212.
Well, for me, it comes down to two players here. One is, again, that Kansas City wide receiver. But then tell me when the last time a Kansas City wide receiver was actually fantasy relevant. I mean, we got to go back to like Dwayne Bowe here, don't we? I mean, that's literally the last time a receiver in Kansas City was fantasy relevant. So I'm going to go with, I want to get a piece of this Indianapolis Colts offense. I really love Anthony Richardson moving back there. I really love Alec Pierce. I really love Michael Pittman. You know we love ourselves some Jonathan Taylor. So why don't we get what Paris Campbell was supposed to be and pencil ourselves some Josh Downs into that spot. I mean, everything that we wanted Paris Campbell to be, Josh Downs is going to be able to give it to us. And he does it in such a way where, yeah, he's undersized. He's a smallish type of wide receiver, like 90% of these wide receivers in this year's draft class, except he will lay out for anything and everything and give me that every day of the week.
Yeah, when I first watched Josh Downs, again, I don't watch college football at all. So the first time I put the tape on him, I didn't look at his height or anything. I just kind of watched the tape. And I see him going up with these contested catch balls and just taking them down, like just jumping over guys and getting these contested catch balls. And I was like, man, this guy, you know, he's a beast. I wouldn't go look at his height. He's like, what, 5'10"? He plays much. He's like the opposite of Quentin Johnson, who plays small for a big guy. Josh Downs plays big for a small guy. And I love Josh Downs. So great, great pick there. All right, third round. We're against the clock here a little bit, so let's just do a speed round. Just pick your guy and a quick one sentence about him as we can move on through this. I will take Rashi Rice there for the things that you kind of mentioned. He's in Kansas City. Yes, we haven't had anybody good since. I think you forgot about Tyreek Hill, but was he really a receiver there, or was he kind of a running back receiver? But Rashi Rice is who I'll take here and hope that they can break that mold. Ryan, you got the 302. I think you're on mute, Ryan.
Cedric Tillman. He's coming to Cleveland with already top three receiver with potential to move up and get more targets. He's big, 6'3", big body receiver. They don't really have that.
I like it. Matt.
I'm going to go back to the running back position here, and I'm going to find a guy who's got an opportunity there in Los Angeles, and that is Zach Evans. Not a big Zach Evans fan, but behind only Cam Akers, good things can happen.
Yep, I like it. I like it. I'm up at the 304, and I've been the Mr. Tight End guy, so when I just keep it rolling here, I'll take Sam Laporta for Detroit. Obviously fills a need that they have in that offense after losing Hockenson, or actually trading Hockenson away. So Sam Laporta at the 304. Ryan, 305.
I think Tank Dell, the lack of pass catchers in Houston's relevant, and he has an opportunity there.
Had to go way down the list for that one. That one surprised me a little bit. Good pick, though.
Just got for guys who can play.
Yeah.
At this point.
All right. 306, Matt.
306. Let's go with Puka Nacua there, another pick. Los Angeles Ram, another guy that creates and manufactures some touches for him. And him with Cooper Kupp, I mean, good things are going to happen.
Good pick. I love that pick. I've been getting him in all of my rookie drafts that I've had already this year. I think he's got a great opportunity. All right, 307. Let me take... Oh, man, this is tough. Let me go with the guy with the great story. I think his dad was the one that actually gave him the phone call to tell him that he was joining the Dallas Cowboys because he worked for the Dallas Cowboys. So give me Vaughn here, the running back for Dallas. 308, Ryan.
Israel Abakana. Breece Hall was injured last year. He's not fully back. Them drafting him tells me they don't fully trust what they had already. So he can fill in that role, and he's a banger who produced.
Yep, good stuff. Matt, you got the 309.
Yeah, I was going to go that route too, but I decided that if I can't pronounce their name, I'm not allowed to pick them. So I'm going to go with Michael Wilson now in Arizona, one of the best route runners in this year's draft class. Big guy there, another one of those guys who dominated there in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, another guy that was a big winner in this draft class, I think. He wasn't on my list to rank either, and now he definitely is. So, yeah, good pick there. Let's see. Let me see who we got left. Let me go with the guy that people thought might have been traded during the draft, Mr. Joe Mixon. They drafted another running back this year, Chase Brown. So I'll take him with the potential that maybe Mixon still gets moved this offseason. And Ryan, your last pick here at 311.
Give me A.T. Perry. There's not a ton of quality in New Orleans outside of Chris Olave, depending if Michael Thomas decides to play. A.T. Perry has a clear route to playing time.
All right, good stuff. And close us out here, Matt.
Well, if we're closing it out here, I want to go for upside. And what better upside can you get than a tight end slash right tackle? And that's Darnell Washington. Big man down in the red zone. Tutties get you fantasy points, and there's not a guy who's going to get more tutties at the tight end position than the big man himself.
Yeah, what is he, like 6'7", 260, something like that? Insane.
He's huge. And he's putting dudes on their backside and jumping up. I mean, dude's a freak. He's a unicorn, really, at the position. Yeah. Like, literally, he's as big as a unicorn.
Yeah. Good call. All right. We're going to wrap up this podcast, as always, with our Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, guys, you know how this works. Matt's giving some hints on his Forgotten Fantasy Player, and me and Ryan got to guess it.
All right, we're kicking it off here. Like, yep. No hesitation. Let's just rock and roll.
Just jump right in.
All right, how about 11 consecutive seasons of four or more rushing touchdowns?
11, so that means he played for a good amount of time. Thinking long, let's see, running back.
Four or more
rushing touchdowns, right? Not just total touchdowns.
Rushing touchdowns, yep.
Jerome Bettis.
That's a good call, though. Scampers, he says Frank Gore. I thought Frank Gore, too, but I think Frank Gore had one season where he had absolutely no rushing touchdowns, if you can believe that, as a 49er fan. I remember that season. He had a pass-catching, a receiving touchdown, and that was it.
All right, between 2005 and 2012, he had 8 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
Oh, man.
2005
to what was the last year there? 2005 to what?
2012 was his last 1,000-yard season.
With Danny Tomlinson?
No, he can't be.
No, 2012, you're right.
2012. Curtis Martin. Nope.
Next up, he only played in 4 playoff contests and never had the start in any one of them.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
4 playoff starts and never started in any of them. So he played on a bad team from 2005 to 2012. Damn, you got to give me another hint.
All right. Career rushing attempts, 2,764 by a player without a rush of more than 60 rushing yards.
Without what, more than 60 rushing yards?
Say that one more time.
He never had a rush of more than 60 rushing yards. So he never hit a a 60-plus yard run in over 2,764 attempts.
So he was just a grinder. Can we get AFC, NFC?
I would say a majority of his career was spent in the NFC.
In the NFC, okay.
Oh, I'll start giving you some easier clues here. He had over 11,000 rushing yards in his career. He had 461 receptions for 3,683 receiving yards. So we're talking about a back of about 15,000 yards.
That should make it easy.
Why is it? He was the offensive player of the year in 2006 after running for 1,538 yards and 13 touchdowns, which worked out to about 471.
D'Angelo Williams?
Oh, no, I think Williams had a couple seasons where he didn't get 1,000 yards. It's that 12 consecutive or 11, whatever it was, consecutive 1,000-yard seasons that I'm stuck on. That should be an easy.
Right. His final three seasons were spent with the Falcons for two and the Patriots for one.
Oh, my God. Matt, you got a stump, man. Me and Ryan usually pretty good at this one.
Yeah.
He was the guy that made everyone forget about Marshall Faulk in St. Louis.
Oh.
Todd Gurley.
Jesus. No, not Todd Gurley. Stephen Jackson. Stephen Jackson, yes. Stephen
Jackson.
Yes. Oh, that was awesome. That was a great one. You had a stump pretty good. He definitely is forgotten because you're right. I would have thought that he had, what was it you said, 11 consecutive or 10 consecutive seasons or whatever it was?
8 consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons between 2005 and 2012. And then that 2006 season where he had about 415 fantasy points because of his insane numbers that he put up that year. 1,528 rushing yards, yes. 13 touchdowns on 346 carries.
Yes. That's a great one. That was more hints than we've been given, I think, this whole season so far, yeah. Matt. Great job, man. And they were good hints, too.
The four touchdown thing seemed like a low number for me. It's a good number, but like it felt low. So yeah. I'm thinking of smaller backs the whole time.
Yeah, that was a good one. Good job, Matt.
That's
thank you.
Good.
I love doing these.
Yeah, 11 consecutive seasons with four or more rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
That's impressive.
That is very impressive, especially in today, like, you know, fairly recently. All right, Matt, that wraps the podcast up, man. I want to thank you for coming on. I know you're probably a little bit, drugged up there from your surgery, but I appreciate you jumping on here. Tell my listeners where they can follow you at and if you wanted to plug anything you got going on.
Yeah, first off, Twitter there, that's my main area, at Matt Donnelly FF, like on the screen. Vipers Network on the YouTube channel. I mean, I'm dropping video content there quite a bit. Lots of videos, shorts, longs, mediums, whatever you want. I kind of got you covered there. Draft, Dynasty, IDP, we talk it all over there. And then obviously I'll be having some content on the YouTube channel there over at Fantasy Points, hopefully sooner rather than later. I got a couple shorts over there as well. So I'll make sure to check that all out. And make sure to check out the Dynasty Vipers Vipercast. That comes at you every single week with Major Caldwell and Tara Roberts.
Good stuff, man. Ryan, what you got going on?
Same old, same old. Find me at Twitter, Foss534. Find me here and find me over at the Rookie Big Board.
Good stuff. All right, guys. As always, you can find me on Twitter at JeffLambert77 and find me here every Wednesday night on the Armchair Fantasy Show. Me and Ryan, a pre-draft, promised y'all that we were going to do rookie profiles that we never did. So now we're going to do post-draft rookie profiles. Eventually, we're going to knock those out and, you know, give them their landing spots and how we think they're going to do for the season. Those should be coming out to you hopefully this month in May. So look out for those. They'll be shorts. They'll be 1 minute long. So they should be quick and easy to watch. But that's it, guys. For Ryan, for Matt, I'm Jeff, and we will see y'all next week.